The great Christian apologist and author G.K. Chesterton once said, "There are two ways to get enough. One is to continue to accumulate more and more. The other is to desire less." Hi, I'm Rob West. How much is enough for you? Today we'll help you figure out what enough looks like in your life and why you need to know. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, a secular worldview tells us that more is always better. With that mindset, there's no end to accumulation. The Christian worldview turns that idea upside down. According to Chesterton, enough isn't about getting more. It's about wanting less. One way leads to frustration. In the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon calls it chasing after the wind. The other way leads to peace. So, how much is enough for Christians? Well, if you're just starting out or struggling financially, how much is enough might seem like a silly question. The bottom line for you is that you just need more money at the moment. Why should you think about how much is enough when you hardly have anything? And what if you're at the other end of things? If you're approaching retirement, you might be thinking about the size of your nest egg. But why put a limit on accumulating money and possessions? Based on these two examples, the definition of enough seems to depend on what stage of life you're in. Well, let's look at what the Bible has to say about what's enough. In Luke 12:15, Jesus says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Jesus is making a rather unexpected statement. Getting more money is never the goal, no matter how old you are. The desire of every human heart is for life, which means satisfying, abundant, purposeful existence. So when Jesus says life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, he's pointing away from money as the source of life and to something else. That something else is himself. Here's what Jesus says, John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And John 10:10, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So our deepest needs for relationship and purpose are met in Christ. He is enough. But what about the things we need to survive day to day? Well, believers in Christ serve a God who promises to meet all our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. In Matthew 6, Jesus reminds his followers not to be anxious about food or clothing or shelter. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" This means you will always have enough of what you need to live, and you can trust God to know what that is. Anything beyond that is a gift. Following Jesus means acknowledging God's sovereignty and his ownership of everything. As the Holy Spirit works in your heart, your motivation to accumulate gradually changes from self-centered to God-centered. With Jesus as Lord of your life, your idea of enough begins to change too, because you're trusting God to meet your needs, and your desires start to line up with what God wants. You will begin to desire less of worldly things and more of Christ. All this is a part of the miraculous heart change that happens when God gets hold of you. So while the worldly person is asking, "How can I get more?" the Christian asks, "How can I love God more?" As a loving father, God not only provides for daily needs, but he provides satisfying kingdom work for his children to do. James 1:7 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." Out of gratitude and a desire to be more like Jesus, we look for ways to serve others with what God has provided. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." That's Ephesians 2:10. So, consider this. How much is enough may actually be the wrong question. For believers, the real question is, who is enough. Following Christ is the way to peace, joy, and abundant life. No matter what your financial situation is, ask God to change your heart. He will change your desire for accumulation into a desire for less stuff and more Jesus. And then the rest will fall into place. Well, folks, just a quick reminder, our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we've got some great questions lined up in advance. Back with much more right after this. Stay with us.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on a Friday morning. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, let me just remind you, Faith and Finance is listener supported. That just simply means that we rely on your generous tax-deductible contributions to fund our work here to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money. If you'd consider a gift of any amount, and we mean that, whether it's $4, $40, $400, or $4,000, whatever you might be able to share with the ministry, we'd certainly be grateful. It's quick and easy to do that online. You just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com and just click the give button. And if this ministry has been an encouragement to you, maybe you've found something helpful or valuable on this program and you'd like to make a gift, we'd certainly appreciate it. Again, faithfi.com. Just click give. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin today in Chicago and we'll begin with Sharon. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
So I wanted to ask about, I have a small 401k. I'm currently employed. It's around $12,000. I actually do not have any savings other than that, and I wanted to find out where can I actually invest that money safely without any penalties or losing any of the funds itself.
Yeah, it's a great question, Sharon. So, you know, I think to your other point about this is your only savings, I would love for you to the best of your ability to start, you know, building up some savings, even if it's just a small amount every month going into your savings account so you have something liquid, because this 401k, whether we leave it there or roll it to an IRA, you know, that's money we want to try not to touch if we don't have to. Now, you are past 59 and a half, so you could take it out. Anything you withdraw would be taxable, but at least you wouldn't have a penalty on top of it. Did you say you are employed currently or you're looking for a job?
No, I'm currently employed and I'm 62.
Okay. Okay, great. And are you contributing to that company's 401k?
Okay. I am.
Very good. So this is an old 401k with a previous employer?
No. This is with my current employer.
Oh, the 12,000 is.
Yes.
Okay, very good. And so you're adding to it. Yeah, so there's really nothing you can do with it other than pick from, and maybe this was your question, I apologize if I missed that, but pick from the investments inside that 401k. You can't roll it out or move it out of the 401k until you separate from employment. So now it's a matter of picking those investments that match your risk tolerance and goals and objectives. Now, apart from you saying, I don't have any savings, and so I want to be very careful with this, what I would say to you is, because you're still working, because you're 62, you know, you need this money to grow for the future. The whole idea behind you having what you have and what you're adding to it is so that it's there for you down the road, you know, let's say 10, 20 years from now. Now, keep in mind, even once you retire, and let's say the Lord redirects you away from paid work at some point in the future, you're still going to need this money to last for decades. Because if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you know, we would like for this to last into your 90s or beyond. We don't know how long the Lord has you here. So I think the idea is, all things being equal, I would probably put this, you know, at age 62, I'd probably either use a target date fund, which is a mutual fund that pegs the investment mix to your expected retirement date. And then it gets more conservative as you get closer. But even then, at 62, I generally would recommend you have somewhere between 40 and 50% in stocks, and then the rest, 50 or 60% in bonds. Now, that can lose value. And if we were to hit a recession later this year, it probably would. Keep in mind, we're at all-time highs right now in the market. But as long as we have a long time horizon, because we know this money is not for next month or next year, it's for 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you know, for you to be able to pull it out along the way, then we have the ability to kind of ride out the ebbs and flows of the market. Even though it's losing, you know, it has the potential to go down, we're looking at the long-term results as our focus. And so the idea between, you know, around you just continuing to systematically invest, you know, in this 401k and then choose investments that match your time horizon and risk tolerance, that would be the typical approach. Now, separate from that, I would say, ideally, you'd be able to live within your means and still have some margin in addition to what you're putting in the 401k, and that is what we would use to build up what I call an emergency fund. And that we would never invest. That would stay in a savings account. You might earn a little bit of interest, but it's always available if you need it for the unexpected. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, in terms of the stock market, you're saying that to invest at least 40 to 50% from the 401k into stocks. I would love to do that, and I know the market is pretty decent right now, but I'm not sure which stock to invest that 40 to 50% in.
Yeah, yeah. And when I said 40, 50% in stocks, I'm talking about probably a balance. It's called a balanced mutual fund, which you'll have some of these in your 401k that has a mix of stocks and bonds. Bonds being debt instruments that are more safe and pay a fixed rate of return. Stocks being investments in real companies with sales and earnings. Those prices can, of course, fluctuate. And so the easiest way to go about this, Sharon, is something called a lifestyle fund or a target date fund. And so, you know, you may look at a 2030 target date fund, which basically says, okay, my expected retirement date is somewhere around 2030. That's 7 years from now or 6 years from now. And what it's going to do is automatically get more and more conservative as you get closer and closer to age 70, so you're not taking unnecessary risk. And the benefit of that is you don't have to think about the investments to select. If you're in that target date fund, the 2030 target date fund, it's kind of doing that for you in the background. So that might be a simple way to go, and you could contact your HR department or your plan administrator and ask about a target date fund, and they could direct you to what's available inside your plan.
That was my next question to you. So I'll reach out to my HR department. Okay.
Yeah, and all find right. out who from the plan administrator, whether it's Fidelity or whoever it is, can guide you in, you know, helping you select the investments inside that 401k, and perhaps you throwing out that idea of the target date fund will get you pointed in the right direction. I hope that's helpful to you. I know this can be confusing, so I'm glad you called today. If we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's go to Cleveland. Hi, Jesse. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call. Back in 2017, my wife and I purchased a home as is for about $52,000. By God's grace, we were able to pay it off, and it's worth about $180,000 right now. And we took out a $25,000 HELOC for the home. And my question was, is it wise to use that account, that checking account, as like our almost like our own bank, so that we can take money out, but then also we can deposit any income that we have into that account?
Yeah. You know, and so you haven't used that line at all at this point, Jesse?
We did use some of it, yes.
Okay. All right. You know, I prefer you not do that. It just gets complicated, and anything you have outstanding, you know, you'd be obviously paying interest on. And right now with that variable rate, it's going to be a high interest rate. You know, it's probably prime plus 1 or 2%. So I'd rather you just use an operating account, a checking account, live within your means, have that home equity there, you know, in case of emergency or you want to do a renovation of some sort that you can afford down the road, but not use it as your operating account. I understand how some folks use that. I just think it adds more complexity and more cost, so I'd rather you stay away from that. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. All right, let's go back to the phones. To Indianapolis we go. Hi, Stephanie. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, I have two questions, and I'll make this quick. I'm 25 right now, and I have 403Bs. I have a couple of them because I switched jobs. Would it be better to consolidate them into one account, or should I keep them separate? I just want to figure out which one will maximize my funds when I retire.
Yeah. So you have an old account with a previous employer, and it's just kind of sitting there. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, very good. I like the idea of you combining them, Stephanie. I just think it creates some more simplicity. You've got all of kind of everything in one place. You're not getting multiple statements. You're not trying to manage two different accounts in terms of the investments that you're selecting. And so I think, you know, moving that all into your current 401k, continuing to contribute, obviously, and then at some point down the road, rolling that out to an IRA, you know, in retirement where you have a little bit more control over the investment options is probably what I would suggest or recommend for the reasons that I mentioned.
Okay, cool. And then my second question is, what is the like recommended number to have in a retirement account in order to retire comfortably?
Yeah, so it really comes down to what your expenses are going to be in retirement and what you're going to use to cover that. And so you would start by creating an estimated retirement budget. And if this is years down the road, you could just either factor in inflation or not and realize that, you know, the compounding would have to accommodate for the inflation as well. But let's say you worked off of today's numbers, you would create a budget and then you would look at what your income sources will be. So for instance, you could look at your Social Security statement and get an idea of what your Social Security would be. That's why they produce that annual statement, so you'll have a sense of what that would be. And then you'd want to look at any other assets that you're going to have or income that you'll have in that season of life and try to solve for that gap. Now, normally what happens is Social Security was only intended to cover about 40% of your pre-retirement income. And so what you do is you continue to save over time through a 401k or IRA or both. And then the idea is those assets that you're building up, you convert that into an income stream. A lot of times folks will use a 4% number. So you take 4% of whatever you build up. And if you, you know, keep it invested conservatively, you should be able to cover that 4% withdrawal per year and never impact the principal balance. And that would be, you know, the goal. The question is, can you get to that ultimate number, so that you've got what you need to be able to supplement Social Security? There are some rules of thumb that, you know, folks will use. These can sound a little scary because they're big numbers. But, you know, for instance, they'll say by 50, you need 6 times your salary. By 60, you need 8 times your salary. So, you know, there are some rules of thumb you can look at that helps you understand, you know, where you ultimately need to go. By the time you retire, often you'll hear somebody say you need 10 times your salary. So if you're, you know, making $60,000 a year, you know, you would multiply that by 10, that's $600,000. You could go as high as 12, that's $720,000.
And if you pull 4% a year out of that 720, that's, you know, about 30,000 a year. That plus Social Security should, you know, provide the income that you need, because most people live on about 80% of their pre-retirement income in retirement. But those rules of thumb, that's all they are. You know, ultimately, you need to solve for the actual lifestyle God has called you to, the income sources you'll have, and then you can kind of back into an ultimate savings goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a lot. But yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Thank you.
So let me just, yes, you know, simplify it. So the bottom line is, you're saying, how much do I need in retirement? Number one is, I'd say get with an advisor and do some planning, because these rules of thumb don't replace that. But the short answer is, usually you will hear that by the time you retire, you need 10 to 12 times your income in your retirement savings accounts. And that 10 to 12 times your income plus Social Security should provide the income that you need for the rest of your life out through age 90 plus to be able to cover your lifestyle, which for most people is about 80% of their pre-retirement income. Because remember, when you get to retirement, you know, you're probably debt-free by then. So you get rid of the mortgage payments. You're no longer saving for retirement. So that comes out. You know, maybe the kids are off the payroll if you're married and have kids. So 10 to 12 times your income plus Social Security should get you, you know, to the amount that you need to be able to fund your retirement income for the rest of your life. Now, if you can't get there, that's fine, but just make sure you have a plan to be able to, you know, cover your bills in that season of life. Is that helpful?
Yes, that is. Thank you so much.
Okay. Very good, Stephanie. Hey, thanks for your call today. Call back anytime. Let's go to Rockford, Illinois. Hi, Sally. Go ahead.
Hello. My daughter lost her husband 6 months ago and received life insurance settlement. And what would you recommend that she do with that check?
Yeah. Wow. I'm so sorry to hear about her, your son-in-law's passing. Really what she needs is an advisor, Sally, somebody who could come alongside in a really difficult season and be that sounding board, help with a plan, help to give her some confidence and peace of mind that she's going to be okay, answer the questions that she has, but also, and this is going to be critical, manage that money. You know, be someone to say, hey, let's develop a plan. I'm going to oversee it. We're going to invest it. We're going to make sure you have the income that you need, but we're also going to try to protect it. We're not going to take unnecessary risk. I mean, that's the role of an advisor. And, you know, that's why we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation here on this program. So what you could do, maybe you do this for her, is go to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a CKA, and pick out maybe two or three Certified Kingdom Advisors in her area that she could go sit down with. Maybe you go with her to interview them and find someone who she can work with. Let's talk more off the air. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back, and back with your questions after this. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
John 3:16 says that God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yet non-believers and Christians alike are crying foul because salvation is only available through Jesus. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress begins a bold teaching series called Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Absolutely free.
We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. Let's head back to the phones. To Chicago we go. Hi, Kelly. How can I help?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure.
My question is this. My husband and I are in our late 50s, and I'm starting to look at retirement options, and my husband has a pension. If he took it at 60, it would be around $5,000 a month. And if we took the reduced pension where I would receive 100%, he preceded me in death, it would reduce the pension by around $1,000 a month down to around $4,000. We don't have life insurance right now. Our 20-year term plan expired. So the options I was thinking or questioning is, should we take the full retirement and get him a large life insurance policy, or should we take the reduced pension that guarantees me a lifetime income and forget about the life insurance? I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are.
Yeah. So if I understand correct, the $5,000 a month is for his life only, and it goes away when he passes away. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. And so you lose a $4,000 a month or $12,000 a year, but that would continue on both of your lives. So regardless of which one passes away first, it continues to pay out so long as the other one lives, correct?
Yeah, if we took the reduced pension, which would be about $4,000 a month.
Yeah. Okay. And so then the question would be, you know, if we take the $5,000 a month, could we get a life insurance policy that for $1,000 a month or $12,000 a year would guarantee, you know, that we could get the full payout of this thing over the rest of his life or rest of your life. And so we'd have to run some scenarios, and we could say, you know, let's say you live to age 95 and he passes away at 70. And the question would be, you know, could you get enough life insurance to cover 25 years of that income stream that, you know, would have gone away, which, you know, in that case, it's $5,000 a month. So that's $60,000 a year. And so, you know, at 25 years, I mean, you're looking at a $1.5 million there that you would be giving up between when he passed away, in our example, and your age 95, if you live that long. I'm trying to kind of play out some dramatic examples here. And so what would it take to get $1.5 million in coverage you know, it'd be expensive because as he ages, it would get more and more expensive. So, I mean, you could probably do a deeper dive on this with an advisor who could really crunch some numbers more than I'd be able to hear, you know, in just a couple of minutes together. But I would just say, generally speaking, I like the idea of you having income for life. We know that men, you know, life expectancy is certainly less than women. And so, you know, just based on life expectancy, we would know that we should expect that you will outlive your husband. And therefore, you know, you losing this this significant portion of your income, $60,000 a year, you know, is a big loss that you would have to make up. So for me, giving up that, you know, extra $1,000 a month to know that you're going to have that for the rest of your life, regardless of what happens to your husband, and you don't have to maintain this pretty substantial policy that's going to get more and more expensive as he ages, that just feels better to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, that's kind of the school of thought that, you know, that I was going with as well. That answers my question. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I mean, the only thing I would say, you know, beyond just us here on the back of an envelope kind of thing, is to do a deeper dive. And what you would want to do is actually put some real numbers. So you'd say, you know, you'd look at a number of scenarios. What if he passed away right away and you lived to 95? What if he lived for 10 years or 20 years? You could look at that and then actually look at the cost of that insurance that would need to be purchased. And actually factor that into the equation to make sure that, you know, that's not a more attractive option. My hypothesis is it's not. There's too much risk in you relying on an insurance policy that's going to get increasingly expensive to make up for the potential loss of this income, and giving up that $1,000 a month is going to be the better scenario. But it's, you know, this is a big decision, and it's probably worth, you know, you spending some time to actually crunch the numbers to make sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Thank you for your advice, and thanks for your program. I learn a lot.
All right. Very good, Kelly. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Let's go to Ocala. Hi, David. How can I help?
Thank you, Rob, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
My question involves a brokerage account set up with joint trust with Rider Survivorship. And I can tell you, as a way of background, you probably have a little bit of show notes here, but my wife passed away, unfortunately, about 4 years ago, had no effect whatsoever on real estate, bank accounts, or anything. I did nothing with my brokerage account even till last year. I just decided to have my name on it and have hers removed. And then what came into play with the account as set up in joint trust was that the brokerage firm did a step-up basis in all of the holdings.
Yeah.
And that step-up basis turned a lot of the positive results into, I mean, unrealized gains into negatives. And I'm just wondering overall, was that the right process to consider that an inheritance? And was it the right process under that account type, joint trust with right of survivorship, to you know, go ahead and put a higher cost basis on all of those holdings, which
yeah.
were basically dividend paying stocks?
Right. So they took 50% of each of these assets and then did a step up in basis for the portion that was equivalent to that which was allocated to your wife. Is that right?
Yes. All the assets that were in the jointly held brokerage account, which were stocks, they readjusted the cost basis at upon the date of her passing.
Of death, sure.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
is that
typical?
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. So with the joint tenants with right of survivorship, you know, this is an agreement where you share equal ownership of an asset. You have equal rights of use. And then if, you know, one passes away, then it automatically transfers to the other spouse. and you do, and this is where it can get complicated, so I would always trust the advice of a CPA on your specific situation, but typically, yes, you would get a step-up in basis on 50% of each of the assets, so the portion that you know would have been allocated to your wife that's now yours enjoys that step up in basis, which just means you have less in terms of capital gains tax when those assets are liquidated, whether that's stock holdings or real estate. So that is right and does sound like that was handled properly, David. I appreciate your call today. We have to hit this break, so call back anytime. We'll be right back.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people in our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Sue. How can I help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My call is about a family member that I have that is kind of a loner. He doesn't really have anybody. And I am his sister. I would be probably the one that would be responsible should anything happen to him. So what I was thinking, is there a book that you would advise, or is there some type of forms just to try to get a conversation going with him to talk about what do you have, what would I need to know, you know, those kinds of things. And any advice you have along that line?
Yeah, it's a great question, Sue. Do you know whether he has a will? Do you know anything about his financial situation?
I know he does not currently have a will. I have been made power of attorney in the past when there was a health issue going on. I do know that he does have student loan and possibly a car loan, but that would be all. And not a whole lot of resources, but that's what he's got.
Very good.
That I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have you all had any of these conversations in the past about his financial situation?
Not really. It's a little difficult to bring it up.
Yeah. And is that just because you're concerned as to how he might receive that? Or has there been something that's happened that leads you to believe that, you know, this isn't going to go well when you try to approach it?
I think it possibly could be received well. Either that or it'll just shut down right away.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth a try.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think perhaps the fact that you have been the power of attorney in the past and maybe still are is a great starting point. It's just to say, hey, listen, you know, out of love, if, you know, the extent to which I'm going to be making any decisions. I want to be able to honor your wishes, you know, because none of us know the day or the time that the Lord is going to call us home, certainly myself included. And so I'd love to not get, you know, pry into your situation. And yet I know that I may be responsible for carrying out some of your wishes. And I just want to do that in a way that honors you and respects your wishes. So would you be willing to kind of begin to walk through this together? And I think the key for you is to understand what decisions he's made with regard to, first, the legal responsibilities. So are you, in fact, the power of attorney that would make legal and financial decisions for him? And then second, who is his healthcare surrogate? And has he named that person? And if so, then you would need to know that because you would be responsible for making healthcare decisions. Does he have a living will? That's going to be really helpful to make sure his end-of-life decisions, are honored. And then who's the executor to his estate? That would be the person that has to settle his estate after his passing. Any assets that he has, a home, any personal effects, that person would be working through the probate court responsible to actually pay any bills that are owed, cover the debts that he has, and then distribute the assets. So it's not a matter of you just wanting to pry. It's really just being prepared to serve in the role that he may desire for you to serve in. And the only way you can do that, and this would be true for any of us, is for you to understand what's there. You need to know the assets and liabilities. You need to know where the information is about all the various accounts that he has. You need to know what his wishes are and where those legal instruments are so you could carry out your responsibilities effectively, which, you know, it would be happening at a very difficult time. Compass Finances God's Way, the ministry that Howard Dayton started, has a resource called Getting Your House in Order. And that might be a really helpful tool that would have some worksheets, Sue, that you could use, as a starting place, just to know what information to collect and have it all in one place. And I'd be delighted to send you that resource, as a helpful tool. That'll be our gift to you. And then I would just pray and ask the Lord to, you know, allow him to receive it in the spirit in which you're approaching it, which is just to be helpful and to be ready and prepared to serve in any role he's called you to, and then have the conversation. Does that make sense?
Oh, it sure does. And this was what I was hoping, just how to get that conversation started, but also to gather the necessary information. Yeah. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Absolutely. So you stay right on the line there. We'll get your information and get that resource, Setting Your House in Order, right out to you. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Beth. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Rob. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. So I am 59 and a half years old. I'll be 60 in July of this year. My husband passed away about a year and a half ago, suddenly. And I had a small life insurance policy that I was able to get, and that's gotten me through these 2 years until I turned 60 and I could actually start collecting on his Social Security. My question is, I was listening to your show today and you were saying 10 to 12 times my salary to have to have for a 401k. I'm not even it's just crazy. It's mind boggling to me to think about how far I am away from being ready for any of this stuff. But here I am, you know, and I've got to start making some choices here. My question is, do you think I should start collecting his Social Security when I turn 60 to supplement my income? Because there's no way I can make it on my own income right now at the job that I've had for 15 years. I cannot do it alone. So I thought what I'd do is I'd collect on the Social Security and maybe work part-time. And I should be okay that way. I also have a home that I own that we own together that we don't have a mortgage on. It's paid off, so it's worth about $260,000. I don't know if I should, you know, sell that. I don't know what to do, frankly. I'm at a crossroads now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing, Beth. And I know this this can be challenging, as not only you deal with that, but then on, you know, the financial responsibilities on top of it. I'd love for you to have somebody that could walk alongside you in this, that could be an encouragement to you, help you make some of these decisions from a financial standpoint. And do you all have an advisor that you've worked with, or have you had a relationship in the past?
No.
Okay.
No, I just have my 401k through work, and that's it, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Never.
And did you get, were there any life insurance proceeds that came?
Just the one. It was a small amount that is definitely going to run out here in July of this year. It was my supplement for these 2 years of me getting to 60, yeah.
I see. Okay, yeah, very good. And tell me about the home. Do you feel like it's where you would like to stay? Is it more than you need? Are you going to downsize anyway? What are your thoughts there?
No, it's the. I love the home. I mean, I would love to stay there. And it's mortgage free. I just feel it's 30 years old, so maybe things will start going wrong, and I have to start thinking, you know, that way too. Maybe I bring somebody in to rent a room. It's a 3-bedroom. I only have my grown son with me now, who will be leaving shortly, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so a couple of thoughts here. I mean, certainly you could take the survivor's benefits. You would be eligible for that at age 60. They're going to be reduced, though, by about a little less than 0.5% for each month you take it before full retirement age, which is 67. So that could bring it down as much as 40%. So you'd get 60% of the full retirement age benefit, and that's going to be locked in. So obviously we'd love to delay that as much as possible, because that base of income, the higher that it is for the rest of your life, is going to be really helpful. So I think, you know, being able to work enough, if you can, to meet your monthly needs and delay that would be really critical. The other option to consider, and again, this is part of what could be discussed as a part of a planning engagement with an advisor, and my conversation with you is not intended to replace that, because we only have a couple of minutes together, but I'm just throwing out some ideas. Another, if you wanted to stay in the home, is a reverse mortgage. Now, we often talk about here on this program getting out of debt and staying out of debt, and I think that's great. I'm a big fan of that, especially if that's your conviction. There is a way, though, I think, and there's an appropriate place as a planning tool to use a reverse mortgage. And basically, here's what it is. With a reverse mortgage, it's called non-recourse debt, which just simply means with a traditional mortgage or any other kind of loan, you put collateral up, but then beyond the collateral, you're personally responsible for it. That's not the case with a reverse mortgage. Basically, the government is ensuring that if they pay out more to you over your life than the home is worth, they're going to cover the difference. So you can never owe more than the value of the home. Now, that could be given to you as a monthly income stream, and it would continue. It goes all the way up to 150 years old. So the idea is that you'd never, you know, live past it. Now, you would be responsible for the homeowner's insurance and the taxes, but as long as those were paid, you could get an income stream out of that. You could get it just a line of credit where you could take it as you need it, but you really need consistent income, and that's where you'd have to wait until you're at least 62, but that would give you, at least at 62, the ability to start to get an income stream that, if you could work until then to cover your bills, could allow you to delay that Social Security as long as you can to get that up. And then if you wanted to, you could just stop taking the reverse mortgage income, and whatever you owed at that point would continue to, you know, grow at a prevailing interest rate that would be very consistent with conventional rates. But you wouldn't have to continue to take that income if you didn't want to. Does that make sense?
It does. It does make sense. It really does. Yeah.
So I think we just need to look through all of these options and figure out, how do we put these pieces together? It's going to be a combination of you know, the Lord providing the income that you need and your ability to work and cover your bills, a combination of the right time to take Social Security. And then I threw out a third option, which again, you'd need to pray through it and think through it, but perhaps a reverse mortgage at 62 is an option as well. And our friends at Movement Mortgage, movement.com/faith, can help with that. So let me direct you to a certified Kingdom advisor, Beth. I'd also be willing to connect and pay for a certified Christian financial counselor to meet with you, just to try to get your financial house in order and get you on a budget. So stay on the line. Let's talk a little bit more off the air. We appreciate your call. That's going to do it for us. I'm grateful for my team, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry couldn't do it without him. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.